Hi, Krishna Maharaj, welcome, and thank you for coming to speak with us. We have a topic of astrology, desires, and free will. So, please, if you can make a small presentation first, and then we'll take questions as soon as anyone has. Okay, thank you.
So basically, in trying to understand this point, because there's always going to be that distraction where we're thinking, I mean, you have spiritual and you have material, and we either have a problem of seeing them as completely separate, that have no connection, or we don't really make any proper distinction. So, what has to be appreciated is there's Krishna's kingdom, right? The kingdom of God. In that kingdom, then there is a area of it that is covered by the cloud of ignorance. The rest of it is in the bright effulgence of Krishna's wonderful qualities. And but one part is covered by cloud of ignorance, the avidya shakti. And so in this area of the avidya shakti, because of lack of knowledge, we don't actually understand who Krishna is and what is, who we are, what the material world is. And so due to this lack of this understanding, then so many little points come up that are a distraction or a disturbance. So in this case, then we see this is one of them, is that astrology, astronomy, then we have the aspect of, destiny, desire, free will, choices, all these things come up. And there's an anxiety that we're not free. It's already predestined, and I don't really like that because then I'm controlled. At the same time as I want control, so I want to know is how much of the desires do I have that I can deal with and I can take care of. That I can say, yes, this is me. So both of so all this combines together, so it becomes an anxiety for the living entity. So when we understand that Krishna, he expands as everything, literally. Now the thing is he's doing this through his three features: as Brahman, as Bhagavan, and as Paramatma. So, as Brahman, then ex the existence of everything as it spreads throughout the cosmos is based on him. Without him, there is no basis for anything. There's him. And otherwise, how does anything function? Just like the generator house is the basis of electricity. And if there's no, the generator's not producing electricity, there isn't any. It's not that electricity just stands on its own. So, through the element of Brahman, Krishna, through his qualities, expands everything that's there, the existence of everything. Right? That existence means that it's there, it has a form, it has a name, it has certain qualifications and that it has certain purposes, it has all these different things. So something exists because it has all. If it doesn't have a purpose or it doesn't have an action, then can you actually say it exists? Just like let's say you come out of your house, and sitting in front of your house right there on the street is a perfect, let's say, hologram of, whatever it is that you would see as your, perfect car or something. So let's just say, some very fancy, very expensive. You don't have to worry. However much it costs, you want to get one of those. you know, personally one-off Rolls Royces made for, you know, 10, 15, 20 million bucks, no problem, right? But it's a hologram. So is it real? It means the hologram exists, but can you call it something real? No, because it doesn't do anything and it has no purpose. Right? So just because it exists is not enough. It has to have action and purpose. Right? So therefore then that something exists there, then the next thing we see is that it's going to have qualities that are being applied for a particular result. Right? The other, the existence element of it, then it has the form, it has the activities, it has things, meaning that's the principle on which it can function. It's not doing it, but it can function in that way. Right? Just like you go into your kitchen, all the kitchenware is all existing there. And it has its nature, it has everything that's there. But it's not functioning. Right? So this is why sometimes it becomes a little confusing when in the philosophy, is that we're looking at this point of in Sambandha, in the existence or the sat element, you've already said that it has form and qualities and relationships and everything. Yes, but that's like the blueprint of what it can do. But when the chit potency is applied, or the abhideya, then we see is now the qualities, how they're being applied, the relationships it dynamically has that are there, not the potentials, the actual, you know, functioning, right? And then there's the result. And then from that actual functioning, you get a result. And in there, you can also say, well, getting that results, the actual purpose of the thing, the actual form is for getting that. The actual qualities are for that. So ultimately, we see is the goal is what you're looking at. Then that requires particular action. That action then has particular, existence. Does that make sense? So you can look at it that from the Sambandha, then there's the Abhideya and the Prayojana. So that's one way, that's the intellectual way of looking at it. But the actual, when you're dealing with desire, it comes the other way. It's because of the desire of Krishna, therefore there's certain activities that are done by certain people that exist in this way. Does this make sense? So both of them are going on at once, but the higher is Krishna's desire. The lower is all the technical knowledge. He has his desire, therefore the technical. That's why you can have both aspects where in certain scenarios you'll look at it, no, it's the mood and this and the desire that's the main thing, and the mechanics are just how you get it. But in other scenarios you take without the mechanics and this and that, you're not going to get anything. So that's the difficulty, is that much of the time people will take one or the other, but they function simultaneously. But you have to know which is primary and which is secondary. But just because it's secondary doesn't mean it's not there. You know, I could give the example of that. Okay, Picasso, he can do some kind of expressionist painting and all that. And if you look at it, you might think a kid drew it. But in actuality, if you know art, you know this guy was very well schooled in art. You understand? So he's expressing, but he's using mechanics to do it. So that's why other people that just think, oh, I just feel and I'll go out and I'll do something. They put their canvas down and they throw some paint and let their dog run across it and this and that. And then they take it down to Sotheby's and then they go, we could maybe use it to, clean the floors or the hallway with, maybe if you, you know, but we'd have to take the frame off. That's a little annoying. We wouldn't be able to use it so good, but. You know, if you don't mind us taking the frame off, yeah, definitely we could do that. I'll ask the janitor how much he's willing to give for it, like that. Yeah, he says he'll give you £2. You know, it saves him going to the store, you know, like that. So that's the whole the element there then is one has to understand is these mechanics, all these things are going on. So it's not a matter of confusion or guesswork or maybe it's this, maybe it's that. It's a matter of no, there's law that this is the way it works. And then we can take part in that. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. Or let's say you have a drama, right? And so then different people have different parts. So you can say as no, but it's about expression. It's about this and that. So therefore, you know, I felt, you know, even, okay, my role may be Judas, but I felt like singing, you know, Jesus' song. You know, because I felt like it, you know, like that. And everybody's looking at you and you go, what are you doing? You know, it's his song. No, but it just came to me. I had an epiphany that, you know, I should sing this. You know, it's like, you know, it means modern age, you know, people just look at you and the critics will pan you. If you go back, you know, some few hundreds of years, you would have collected yourself a lot of cabbages and tomatoes and possibly, you know, other things that, you know, the chickens, you know, wondering what happened to, you know, their family, you know, right? So that's the whole point is that it's that, no, whatever it is, it is always a combination of these two. So when you only have mechanics, you'll say it's dry. When you only have the desire, you'll say it's sentimental. Is the combination is always there. So that's the difficulty. Some will say it's this, some will say it's that, but it's the two together. So in the same way is that we see in here is that it's and all these are governed by Krishna's laws. Krishna's made it this way. Krishna is who he is. That's what we have to accept. He is who he is. And the cosmos is what it is because it comes from him. So we can break everything down into Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana because he is Sat Chit Ananda. That's where it's from. It all comes from his Swarup. Swarup means his form, means his nature. Everything comes from there. So you have Sambandha because there's Sat. You have Abhideya because there's Chit. You have Prayojana because there's Ananda. So it all comes from there. So there's no guesswork. We can try to use our intelligence, apply it to the situation, think about it, but it's not because I'm speculating that makes it happen. No, it's there. Krishna can reveal. If you're sincere in that, he reveals. And so then it works very nicely like that. So we have to, when we appreciate that, then we know that okay, things are fixed. They have their way of working. And at the same time, as simultaneously, we're dealing with this mechanical or intellectual and also the emotional. Right? So that aspect is there. And we have to understand also, because we're dealing with the material world, it's a reflection. So that spontaneous aspect in the spiritual world, that mood and that, if it's here, it tends to be the lowest. Right? So now if you know all the mechanics and the emotion is applied, then you'll say they're the best. If it's just a very expert at the mechanics, it's so perfect, then you'll say they're very good. You know, like sometimes you have some of these guys that, let's say, play piano or violin and all that. They're the technical best in the world. But, you know, it lacks some spontaneity to it. But no one can say anyone else, no matter how spontaneous and how much emotion, can play it technically as well as this person. Right? So we see is that if you have that technical and life, that's going to be the best. If it's just technical, it's okay, then it's good at technical. Then if it's going to be not so good at technical, and then you're going to have just sentiment with no technical on the bottom. Right? You know, in other words, you know, modern, how you say, you know, politicians and bureaucrats, you know, that kind of thing. You know, if you need some example. Right? So that's the whole aspect is that we understand is how this works, and there's a balance here. And when you see the balance, then it becomes very clear. So the aspect of destiny and free will. So these are two. One is dealing with the mechanics. One's dealing with your emotions and what your feelings. They can function at the same time. No problem. Means we may or may not be good at this. But we have to understand is in the spiritual world, Yoga Maya is expert at this. And in the material world, Mahamaya is very expert at her job. Therefore, then, you can have your free will and your predestiny happening at the same moment, at the same time. So, in other words, predestiny, you know, is what is the environment that you're in right now. Free will is what you do in that environment. Right? That's the point. Because let's say, okay, let us say, okay, I decide to go to a restaurant. But in going to the restaurant, when I get to the restaurant, I'm not in the restaurant. I would feel, hey, you know, this isn't what I wanted. But then if you look at that, but then what you want is predestiny? What about your independence? You know, you decided to go to the restaurant. You made the endeavor to get to the restaurant. And the mechanics unfolded of you going to the restaurant by putting you at the site of the restaurant. Right? That's what you expect. So in other words, when I apply my free will, I expect a particular predestiny. No? When I go into the restaurant, I make an order off the menu. I expect to get what I ordered. Right? I don't expect to get something else. You know, them to bring it out and give you all the stuff there and says, oh, we thought, you know, we're trying a new thing this week. You know, it's Arts and Crafts Week, so we thought that maybe you'd like the do-it-yourself meal. You know? And it costs twice as much because it's very eclectic, you know, like that, so. So you expect to get what you want. So that's the thing, is we make an application, we expect the results. But when we do something, that's our free will. But what comes, that's the predestiny, is based on our free will. I do something, I expect that result. I went to work, I expect to get paid. But you know, but when devotees go, no, but wait, you know, whatever, you know, this predestiny, where's our freedom? Okay, well then you work all week and then you may not get paid. You know, because you don't like the predestiny stuff, so why are you complaining you're not getting paid? You know, that was the free will of the entrepreneur. He decided, hey, why don't we do something, you know, be spontaneous this week. We won't pay anybody. You know, I mean, that's great unless the IRS rolls in, but then, you know. Like that. You have IRS there? What do you call them there?
HMRC.
HMRC.
Yeah.
HMRC, Her Majesty's Royal Collectors?
Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs.
Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs. Definitely has a better ring to it than IRS, no? Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs.
Or the tax man, that's another one.
yeah, the tax man, okay. Yes, the tax man. So this whole point of we don't have a problem with free will and predestiny as long as it works out the way we want it. As soon as it doesn't work out the way we want it, we go, why is this happening? Oh, because of previous karma. Oh no, but then where's my free will? You understand? So in this, the confusion comes up is we only want to get a result that we want. We're not willing to get a result that matches the effort. Right? If somebody, you know, comes to work late, leaves early, doesn't do their work, hangs out at the water cooler all day, and then, you know, everybody else, you know, moves up in the company and gets paid more, you don't. And then you're thinking, hey, what's going on? But that's the way, what you've put in. Right? You know, you sow what you reap. Right? Does that make sense? I mean, you have to think about it. That cloak that the Grim Reaper wears, a lot of stitching goes into that thing. You know, that's a big outfit, you know. No? Okay, so, does this make any sense so far? So, just we're coming at it backwards. Then it makes it more easy to deal with the astrology part. See, astrology is, so you have astronomy. Astronomy means it's the hard science of where the planets are right now. It means you're here in this point. And at this many degrees is this planet. This many degrees is that planet. This many degrees is this planet. Right? You know, so the whole trigonometry jazz. Right? That's actually what trigonometry is for, is to figure out where the planets are. If you ever wondered, why do I have to learn trig? This is why. Like that. If you're not going to be an astrologer, then you might, you know, not get into it. But whatever it is. So you have the where the planets are. And that means the zodiac signs, everything, they're fixed. And so everything's just in its place. Right? Then, according to you, what's happening right now, okay, then we look at the horizon. And whatever is there in that place, we count that as one. Right? So that's your house. And then that goes around to 12. But the zodiac sign, that might be 6 or 7 or 3 or even, it could also be 1. So the zodiac signs have their beginning, all 12 zodiac signs. And just which one you count from the horizon, what's, in other words, which way, how is it affecting you right now? Because you only calculate it from horizon, from the sunrise, right? And so then, that's where everything is, that's astronomy. Now, interpreting that, how that falls in the chart, means according to the houses, according to the sunrise, that will be the soft science of astronomy, I mean astrology. In other words, astronomy is the hard science, and astrology, the birth chart, is the soft science, right? Because it's interpretive. It works off all the laws and all that, but the weak part is us. The astronomy is, you know your math, you know your calculations, it matches up. Just by doing math, you can tell. That's why they can give you a book of sunrises and sunsets, moon rises, moon sets, and eclipses for the next 100 years. They can actually give you a book of that. Because that's that hard sign. Now, how you want to interpret how that affects you right now, or after a year or 10 years, that's birth chart or Jataka. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So then now with this then you have to look at what's going on here, and you have to look at many layers, because some people just look at one, oh, this is bad, but if you look down to the next layer, you find, oh, actually, it's not bad, it's good. Like that. So it said someone who deals with astrology, unless they can see down 5 levels, then they're not actually mature enough to look at your chart. You know, it's just like, how many times has it been you have that thing where someone knows a little bit about palmistry, and they look at your palm, and you know, they're always looking over here to see, oh, how many marriages are going to be there and everything, you know, right? You know, that's the first thing. Like, what do they know? You know, they don't know what's going on. But that's always like that. Oh, you know, this does he have any money or this? You know, they don't really know what they're talking about. But you know, it's some fun, you know. So then we see it's based off the sign of where the planets are. The planets are the ones that deliver the situations to you. So in other words, the astronomy, the astrology, the palmistry, the prashna, the question, the omens. These are all simply showing what is the situation. They do not show anything more than that. Of course, your local astrologer wants to convince you. He can tell you, you know, what you're going to eat, you know, after 3 weeks, you know, on Sunday afternoon in the back seat of your car, and which side of the car you'll be sitting on, and whether it's wrapped in a white or a yellow, you know, wax paper or not. But he can't. He can tell situations, but he can't tell what you're going to do with it. He can have a good estimation based on your nature, what you've done in the past, why you're in these positions, that there's a good chance you're going to do that. Just like if, let's say, I take the Brahmachari ashram, okay? I get together the whole Brahmachari ashram. And it's been, how you say, you know, it's a point in the day when the Brahmacharis are hungry. Right? And I lead them all into a room that's full of Mahaprasad. Right? And we've taken out all the rice and all the, you know, all these kind of things, and it's just pakoras and sweets and this and that and, you know, paneer and whatever it is like this. So now, can you predict what's going to happen? Basically, you know, Brahmacharis, hungry, Mahaprasad, they're going to eat it, right? But it's just an estimation based on previous situations. But you can say that you'll have an opportunity where there'll be all this prasad and all this and that. That you can tell by astrology. But you can't tell if he's going to eat it. You can guess that he probably will, because you know how the modes work and that. Just like if I take a dog and there's something to eat, he's going to eat it. Right? So like that, based on the modes and all that, therefore they can tell stuff. But technically, the free will, they can't actually tell. Now with the karmis, they'll be able to tell more because they'll just follow the patterns. But with the devotees, they have a lot of trouble with. Certain things that they do quite well with, you know, and certain things they don't. So therefore, in this, there are certain things that it's useful for in devotees' lives. But at the same time, to run your life based on that, then you have a problem if that's your approach. Does that make sense? So they can tell the situation. They can't tell what you're going to do with it. Right? If you're a karmi, they can pretty much tell what you're going to do with it because they've seen the past and it just continues forward. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. So that will then establish that position. Then you're going to have the aspect of, okay, so does this make sense? So astrology is going to tell you what your situations are. But they can't tell what you're going to do with it. Because as a devotee, you're seeing how it's useful for Krishna. So yes, according to your conditioned nature, these activities that I would have been doing before I took up Krishna consciousness, in those situations, I would probably do this. The chart's going to be looking at that. They can't tell that now that you become a devotee, you're not going to do that. They can't tell you that. There may be some inclination because you're a devotee. If they see anything in there that's renunciation or that, then they'll say, okay, well, maybe you won't do this and that. But that's as devotees, then they have an understanding that those kind of qualities they'll emphasize. But if you went to a karmi astrologer, he'll be telling you all kinds of stuff that won't necessarily apply. Because they're interpreting it according to how the karmis work. Does that make sense? So as a tool to understand situations, it's very good. But the point is you yourself as an individual have to make your choices whether you want to move towards Krishna or not. That's yours. Right? And those choices in the past, in previous lives, that's what makes up your chart. Whatever you did in last life, as pious or impious, that's what your chart this life. Because it's birth chart. It's not going on, you know, what's happening and that, you know, as you've changed. It's your birth chart. Right? Does that make sense? It's not called the Forever 16 or Forever 21 chart. You know? Yeah, my mom's chart, you know, goes along on that, but somehow or another, mysteriously, it stops at 29. She's been using the 29 chart, you know, for the last 50 years. No? You sure? My mom's using like that. Okay, yes, that's true. That's America, 29. I heard Europe is 39, I heard.
A unique case, Marge.
Unique case?
No, as in she's unique.
Oh, okay. I find Europeans are more reasonable, so they say 39. You know, you don't get older than 39. You know, like that. You know, but America is 29. Like that. So that's the point. It's telling from the birth, the planets there, what would be the influence that the situations you'd be in. So the chart can only tell you that. If it's different from that, that's because Krishna's adjusted it. That you can't tell by charts. That you can't tell by yourself. That's just up to Krishna. Does that make sense? It's up to Krishna on whether, as a devotee, has developed faith and is acting in that capacity, then Krishna may make adjustments, whatever's going to be better for them. Right? But for the karmis, that they may believe in God, they may have faith in God, and so, but at the same time, as God's just part of their kind of moral sense. Their religious sense. It's not about God. It's about being good and then, you know, serving God's part of that. And I will get good results, right? I serve God, I go to heaven. Right? So it's about going to heaven, because you talk to anybody. When they talk about going to heaven, does anybody talk about interacting with God in heaven? Never. Like, he's just the guy at the door. And then you walk around God and go inside. Then you hang out with your relatives and all that, you know, your 93-year-old grandmother, you know, like that, you know, because whatever it is, you know, she's 93 eternally. You know, it's like there's something wrong here in this philosophy like that, you know. You know, and your dog's there, and then you have talking lions and tigers, you know, that the 4-year-old girls can hang out with, and they're so fluffy, you know, like that. You know, it's good. So, you know, they have their own ideas about these things. So they never talk, it's not about God. So these things, then karma will run more, because karma is important to them. Do good work, go to heaven. So God's not going to necessarily change this. You know, if that faith is there, that things like, they might have some adjustment. But it'll just be for that point. It won't be for a devotee who's committed themselves to the Lord, has faith. They have real knowledge of God. The others have some idea of knowledge. They're theistic moralists. They believe in God. They follow the laws of God. But God's just part of that scene. Well, when the other is that, but they don't understand his eternal form, the eternal relationship, the spiritual world, these things they don't understand. It's just a nicer place, right? Because otherwise, heaven on earth, goodwill to men. You know, before you had to work and, you know, you go to heaven. Now it's like heaven will drop down here. You know? Not that that principle is not there. You see Ram Raja, then, you know, it's like that. Whenever everyone follows very nicely, it works like that. But the point is it's still temporary. Right? So, for the devotees, then the astrological aspects will show the situations, and generally speaking, you know, it'll work in that general environment, but the details may or may not be exact, depending upon how they unfold for that individual. But for the karmis, you can say, yes, it will be like this. You know? And so then they're only situations. They don't tell what you're going to do and stuff. You know, as a devotee, as a karmi, yes, you can give a better idea what they'll do. But as a devotee, then you know, then it's going to be, this is what's going to happen. Right. So that means free will is always there. The predestiny is there, meaning it's from your previous life. And if you want some exact things of what's the predestiny, that's what the astrology can do. Does that make sense? So the three all work together very comfortably. They have no problem. We might have problem, but they have no problem. Right? So for us, the main thing is we use astronomy mainly. For us, that's the main thing we use, the science, because that establishes time. So that shows when's the auspicious time and proper time, when's Ekadasi, when's Janmashtami, when's Radhashtami, you know, when does it start, when does it end? You know, if you're doing the samskaras, what's the proper time for them? Like that. So for us, that's what we always use. So if we never use astrology, we'll get by. Right? Astronomy is what we use, the panchang. Then astrology, it has its usefulness specifically for if you're arranging marriages. You know, if such things go on in this, you know, enlightened day and age. Right? So, you know, because they'll say, what's the underlying nature of one? What's the underlying nature on the other? Because if that will match, then whether it's a good day or a bad day, things will go on. Well, if you say, oh, we're devotees, it doesn't matter. Okay, then you have to make sure every day is a good day. You know, it has to be the Truman Show every day. You know, otherwise you got problems. You know, you drop your guard, you know, then problems will come up. So that's the whole point. The idea of a partnership is you can kind of be relaxed. You can be yourself. You have to be considerate because you're personal. They're a person. You have to be considering all these things. But at the same time, it's comfortable. It's easy enough to do. It's not a trip.
Samaraj, okay, can we...
Sorry, yes, go ahead. I was going to say is that basically that's the fundamentals. Now, I would say to make it more specific, we get into, and now should be questions.
Mm-hmm. So can we say that astrology is really kind of helping us to connect how our natures interact with the situation? Or show us kind of how that can
be? It can, but at the same time as a devotee, whether you'd want to act in that way or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you check the chart of Bonnie and Clyde, that, you know, that they're just doing what their chart says they would be doing, you know, and probably down to the minute you can say that at this point they're going to stop doing what they're doing, you know, together, you know, how romantic as a couple they go out of this world together, you know. No?
Mm-hmm.
So you probably can tell all those things exactly. But for us, we're not the body. We're not the mind or intelligence. But it's not a bad thing to, if one has that inclination and has that maturity that one can look at it and, oh, this is what I'm working with. You know, it's just like a good cook goes into the kitchen and then it's, okay, what do we have to work with? So now what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like someone who's not as good a cook, they'll go, I'm going to cook this. Then when they get in the kitchen, then they find out that, you know, some of the ingredients aren't there and this and that and so many things. So then they'll try to cook that preparation without the proper ingredients. You know, like how you say, making saffron sweet rice when there's no saffron and there's no sugar and there's no rice and we only have some yogurt.
Doesn't work.
No. I mean, you could, I guess you could use some, what do you call it? Yeah, the yogurt to put some water, some buckwheat groats or maybe some quinoa like that, boil it up like that. Little what is it, agave or whatever it is? Or
mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that. Might not come out the same prep. Might be okay, but it won't be the same prep. So the point is the cook goes in, what do we have? What and what facility, what time, who are we cooking for? Therefore, what do you do? So that's the advantage, is that, okay, this is the nature and these situations, what can I do in service to Krishna?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. And then you know, okay, these are the strengths, these are the weaknesses.
And it also helps us, like, when we have different choices, like different options that we could choose, to show us which one would be most beneficial for us at a certain time.
Can, but you always have to know that the important means, yes, that's for an action and, you know, and probably possibly some result. But one always has to know that it's going to be, it's a matter of, it's the devotion to Krishna that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And so how can you be engaged in Krishna's service in this situation?
Sure.
That's what's important. Rather than, you know, how I'm going to get the best result. Because as soon as you get into that and it's not about Krishna, then you're going into your karma. Then you also have to look at, well, what result do you get according to karma?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But as a devotee, you may or may not get that, because if you're already distracted thinking about getting that result and then you get that result, how much more distracted?
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you see situations like that, where if by getting a good result, you become more inspired in devotional service, then you can get a good result, no problem. But if by getting a good result, you get distracted from Krishna consciousness, then Krishna may not arrange a good result.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, when the mentality changes, then you can get that good result.
It can also be that if that situation is something that's sort of easier for us, then it gives us less distraction. We can kind of keep our focus, and the thing that we're trying to do kind of happens on the side. It's taking care of our material situation.
Yes. But the same time as you have to take it that Krishna isn't ultimately in control, you see that may be the best way to engage in Krishna's service. You move yourself forward in that way. And if it's working out, you keep going. But if you see it's absolutely not working out, you might want to reassess.
Mm-hmm.
Not say no, but the chart says, because the point is the chart's telling the situation, but the point is how it will all unfold, that's between you and Krishna. We talk about our free will, what about his free will?
Mm-hmm.
He's Swarat, means he is independent. We're dependent upon, we say, my free will, I want to do this, but you want to do this at a particular age. It means it's like, what teenagers ago, you know, I want freedom. It's like, you know, like, wow, so shocking. No teenagers ever say that, you know?
Every teenager does.
Yeah, so therefore, that's the things like, what's the free will? Krishna's made it like this. And then because you want to be crazy and all that, then the modes of nature have an arrangement. It's called having kids. Then when you hit a little bit older age and they hit teenage, then you go, oh, that's what my mom was talking about. I was always thinking she's crazy, she's trying to restrict me, you know, this, that. But she was meaning this. But because you didn't listen to your mother, therefore your kids aren't going to listen to you. Right? But if you've understood that fact now and are working in that way, another mood, then you might be able to find how to get through to them, because now it's not just because I said, you have to explain. So yeah, if my mother had explained it to me, then you start explaining, then you'll start getting results. Mm-hmm. In other words, you put in the effort, then you can get results. But the results are ultimately up to Krishna. We can't say the result will come out like that, because we don't know all the things from the past. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, yes, it can be useful for looking at those things, but you shouldn't then make everything about that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like Prabhupada was making the point, is that according to his chart, he was supposed to be, you know, ridiculously wealthy as a householder, as a...
Okay, I think Maharaj's internet might have gone. Has anyone got any questions, by the way, for the moment? Ragaleka, Jay Murari, anything?
I did have, but you just asked it for me.
All right.
No, it's great. It was answered, so I'll have a think.
We think alike.
Yeah, exactly.
Jay Murari, you there? You're hiding.
Oh, well, yes, I am here. A few things to do, but I'm nearly done and I'll be with you with my camera on.
Okay. Any questions at the moment, Jay Murari?
No, you also just answered, but asked, well, yeah, I think you asked the question that I had, because the answer seemed quite like what I was thinking about. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I suppose one thing that I'm curious about is just as well, I suppose it's more of an observation, was that just talking for myself, like often, like I found that you don't know, like I didn't, when I read my chart, I understood myself more and what I like and dislike, because often it's just like feelings and emotions, but like having the chart read was helpful in sort of just knowing myself a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And just being
you could bring that up with Marge.
A bit more at like peace with who I am.
you could bring that up and get Marge's angle and reflection on that.
I would also, I'd like to ask maybe about children and having their charts read and how that could be useful.
Yeah, no, good points. Bhuta Bhavana Prabhu, do you have anything to add to the discussion?
Well, first of all, I thought it was really, really interesting. Some really interesting points. And one thing Bhakti Gamya, which you hopefully get something done, but one thing Bhakti Gamya was wondering is, what does one do if one is attached to a particular outcome? I mean, we were wondering if you know, maybe that's something Marsh could elaborate on. I mean, we're thinking based upon previous seminars that maybe one should just do that for Krishna's pleasure. If it's something that's pious, then it can be dovetailed, but it'd be good to hear.
Bhuta Bhavana Prabhu, what did you feel was sort of the most interesting points from the discussion so far?
I mean, there were so many. I mean, so I made some notes. So there's a few things. I really found the correlation between Satchidananda and Sambandha Abhidhaya and Prayojana very interesting. I'd heard it before. Mm-hmm. The elaboration was very interesting. And also the point that Marge made that Krishna works from the Ananda backwards. So he has a desire, therefore he actually uses his energies to create a situation. Sad. But that the living entity often works in the other direction. And then what was also very interesting to me was, so Marge said the optimal is when it's mood and mechanics. That's chit, right? So the idea of being that you have the mechanics, you have your intelligence as to how to get something done on Krishna's laws, and you have the right purpose, the right mood behind it, the right desire. And he said, and less than that is just the mechanics, and the worst is when it's just the mood, it's just a sentiment. I hope that was really interesting.
And I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to those leadership seminars from this year, but he's actually elaborated on that in terms of leadership organization.
Yeah, I heard this seminar on leadership that I think
there's
20 part.
Strategic organizational, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's another angle just on the same point. It's incredible how it can be applied in so many different ways and angles.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when he was saying that, I was like, that is exactly the strategic planning organizational thing that he's talking about.
Yeah, I heard that from, I think, Dale Mora, because he said that it also relates to the four Varnas. So strategic is Brahmins, then operational is Kshatriyas, and then you have tactical, which is Vaishyas, and then you have he said the last one is
technical.
Technical, that's, interesting.
Well, Dale Mora heard it in the winter seminar over a year ago, so that's why he's already picked up on it. And Marge repeated on it this year.
Yeah, so much.
Marge is back with us.
Where are we? Oh, there we are. Yeah.
Whilst you were away, Marge, we were having a nice discussion on some of the points that you brought up. The devotees were finding very interesting. And we've got quite a few questions that are there as well. So, Marge, do you want to go? Are you hearing me?
Yes. Oh, Murari.
Oh, she's not, obviously.
Somebody's not hearing.
Jay Murari, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear.
I'm hearing.
Oh.
I'm hearing.
I was asking if you could go with your question, but there's no response.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. You know what? Maybe there's a bit too much time. My dad's like, I can hear. Why can't you hear? Sorry, can you say that one more time?
Do you want to go with your question?
No, oh, yeah, sorry. I suppose it was just a general observation or experience that when I had my astrology chart read, like more recently, it was like more of a part that sort of had like phases of my life and stuff like very, very detailed, like page by page of it. And when I read it, I found that I understood myself more. And a lot of my frustrations in life or in experiences, I found like not knowing where to go, or, like what direction to take, or not knowing myself. I feel like felt like I didn't really know myself. It was more like feelings and emotions. When I had my astrology read, it kind of like explained a lot more. And I found that like, I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And I can relate to it. I just wondered whether you had any thoughts.
Yeah, it means it's useful, but you have to remember is that chart that you're looking at and all those details, what we say is myself, that's not actually yourself. That's the conditioned nature that you happen to have right now. That's made up of the elements of the universal form that makes up what is called this manifestation. But you as the soul are the eternal servant of Krishna. So in so doing, by knowing what you're working with, that's always going to be a good thing. Just like if you're trying to drive a car and don't know anything about a car, it will be very difficult. The more you know about the car, the easier it is to drive the car. But it still doesn't mean that you are the car. You have to remember that you're the driver of the car. And the driver, its nature, is servant of Krishna. Does that make sense? So that balance you have to have. So in other words, if it comes down to getting into the astrology and getting distracted from serving Krishna or not knowing anything about it, but serving Krishna, even though it might be a bit of a rough ride, better you serve Krishna. You can go back to Godhead. Plenty of people who know their charts, then they're not going back and they aren't going back for a while. You know what I'm saying? Means we're 151 trillion years into this universe, into Brahma's life, right? So that means we've been here for a while. Does that make sense? So it's important to note that, yes, it can be very useful, just like you get a new, toaster. If you look at the manual and it tells you how the toaster works and all this and that and what buttons to push and what not to push and, you know, don't let your cat, you know, stick their paw inside and, you know, all important things like that, then it's going to be very useful. But that still doesn't mean you become a toaster, identify with the toaster. So that's the thing. It's not you. Because it's felt, well, you know, all this time, you know, I this, I that. But no, that none of that was, none of that's you. That's just the modes of nature carrying these things out. Does that make sense? So it's useful. But at the same time is, the choices to do something in Krishna consciousness, that the chart's not going to say, because the conditioned nature is based on you being here in the material world. It's not based on your devotional service. You understand? Because it's an aparavidya, it's a material science. It can't tell spiritual things. It can tell what's religious. You know? It can tell, you know, when you might step out of this particular thing, but they can't tell where you've gone once you've stepped out. Just like if someone leaves your house, okay? They tell you, hey, I'm going home. And they leave your house. Can you tell where they've gone? No, but you have an idea they're going to go there because of what they said, but they may have just gone over to the neighbors because that's where the happening party was and just you had invited or something and you were in there, so they dropped in. Yeah, you understand? So one has to know the limitations of this astrology. Then one can use it nicely. So the idea is, oh, we don't need any direction. Okay. As long as you're willing to go on and comfortable with what's happening, then it's great. But if not, if you're worried about your material situation and this and that, then these things will give you some detail. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. No, it's just like, let's say someone, you have an inclination towards managing, but do you have a management nature? So if you find that you get into management, but no one likes what you're doing, no one listens to you, this and that, but then you check your chart, you don't have a managing ability, then you know, okay, well, maybe that's not there. But so therefore, what is the ability? So it might be in some other area. And so you can organize within that area, and then it works. You know what I'm saying? You know, like that, you know, so, or if you think, you know, I want to be a great opera singer or something like that. And then if they, if your chart says, well, the only way that you might be able to do something, and even that won't be too good as long as you bring a bucket along with you, then, you know, then maybe something will happen. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the whole point is that it gives you a general idea, but it won't give you the details. It can tell you that something's going to happen here. Planets move in and out, so something's going to happen to the situation. But it doesn't mean that it's a good thing or a bad thing. It's just like, how many devotees, they're feeling this COVID is a real bummer time. Really annoyed by it, right? Many. But at the same time, as I know one God brother, he's already written and published one book, and he's writing, I think it's being published now, the second book. It's called The Nectar of lockdown or something. Because now, after 50 years, he's been able to sit down and do all that reading he's wanted, all that chanting and all that. He hasn't had to fly around the world 20 times, you know. And he can just get into, you know, just doing these simple devotional services. And he's finding it ecstatic. So you could look at the chart and go, oh my God, you know, you're going to be restricted. You're not going to be able to leave your house. You know, your health's not going to be very good and all that. You're going to be eating a very simple diet and all that. This is going to be a real bad time for you. And then you find out this is what's going on. Yeah, he's, you know, you just stare. You just do simple things and all that because you're not doing much. And then he's in ecstasy, you know, or a typical example, it says, oh, you, this is, you know, in your chart here, it says that you're going to be, you know, hosted by, you know, Her Majesty, like that, and, you know, given food and board and all that for 3 years and all that. And you go, wow, that's great. And then you find out you're in jail for 3 years. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it is, right? Who's giving you for food and board? Is the queen? You know. Why is it? What do you call the royal? Royal, what do you call it? Would be, what would you call that? Royal, what do you call it? Oh, when you royal, the royal royal reprobate, reformatory, you know, how you say, what do you call it? Something, you know, like this, you know, it sounds really good, no? Does that make sense? So you have to, it means you see what's there, because if you look at the chart, if you look in the past, it looks really great. But if you look into the future, has the guy told you what's going to happen so much? No, they can look back. You know, you always have to remember hindsight is 20/20. So the guy will look at the chart, see something there that looks prominent and go, hey, you know, this, that. And you say, well, yeah, kind of, but it was like this. And then he'll go, oh, yeah, over here, that's that. Then he sees the planets. It's easy to see if you're looking in the past. But if you look into the future, very few can kind of do that. There are ones that can. You know, I mean, it's like Varahamihira was famous for that. But that was 1,000 years ago. So, does that make sense? So, in other words, you've taken it. It's been useful for you. Be happy. It's good. But don't then base your life on that. What you're going to do with it. Know that this is your situation, but don't base what you're going to do. Does that make sense? Your decisions. In other words, you know you have this nature, so therefore you work in these areas. So work in those areas. But then within that area, you have to make the decision how to be Krishna conscious. How to do some nice service. There's always this balance. Because we want to take it, oh, it's that means, we, then it's astrology is good, we can do everything by that. Or no, it's both, I'll throw out everything. No, we have to get a balance. Just like, is salt, and this is a very delicate question here, but is salt of any value? Okay. Can your body function if there's no salt in it? You'll die, right? Right. If you remember the episode, you know, I think they were on some planet, you know, and I can't remember who it was. It was a crew member. It wasn't Captain Kirk. And this monster was there, and it had these fingers that had little cups at the tips, and it would put it on the side of your face and suck out all the salt in your body, and then they died. So. We can understand from these authoritative sources that you can't live without salt, right? No? Yeah. So since salt is so important, how much do you put in your food? Right? Do I put salt into my food? How I put health food supplements into my smoothie?
Just enough.
Yeah, you can only put a little bit. So in the same way is that the astrology and the astronomy have a value, but you have to know how much their value is to be utilized. It's not that now it becomes everything. Does that make sense? So if it's helped you, that's good. Look at those things. Figure out, you know, what is there, what is the nature, and all these things like that. And then apply that in your devotional service. But don't get distracted to think, now, okay, what should I do? You know, should I serve Krishna or should I do this and then go ask the astrologer? Because I remember going to one astrologer, looked at my palm and said, like this. And he started giving me all these ridiculous recommendations. Right? Just straight upfront karmic stuff. You know, even though my situation was slightly different, you know, I mean, I was a brahmachari. I happened to be in town. Someone said, hey, this guy's good. They were going there. And since I went along with them, then he also checked mine while he was there. And so then, you know, we're brahmacharis and that, but he's telling me all these different things, you know, like that. And it's just kind of like, man, this doesn't mean, you know, this isn't going to work. And he says, yeah, even in your chart, it doesn't work. But these are important things. You should do them anyway. So you have that. That's why I said it's soft science, because then it's up to the qualification of the person interpreting them. So as far as what planets where, what it's going to do, at this period money could come, at this period you won't get so much money, at this one it'll be a difficult time, this will be an easy time, this one health will be good, this part and health won't be so good, you know, this day will be a bad hair day, this day won't be, you know, those kind of things that the chart can tell you. But more than that, what then point is devotional service is then what you're going to do. If you're not healthy, can you chant your japa? Right? If you're healthy, you chant your japa. You're not healthy, you still chant your japa. You just do it lying in bed rather than, you know, walking around. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is that the chart can't tell you those things. You yourself, your free will, you have to apply it. So in other words, we can see is that if we're looking at the chart as predestiny, we don't mind as long as it goes along with what we think, how we identify what benefits we're going to get. But as soon as it opposes that, then no, I don't like it. Oh, we're free will, we're devotees, and this and that. Does that make sense? So that's whole thing, is that you just need to balance that. So know what you have, know what the nature is, and then know what areas it's useful, you know, most effective in, and what areas it's not, and apply yourself accordingly. Then you'll see things go very smoothly. Does that work?
What about the remedies that they give you, like
it's like one has to, it's how you say, when you're working in the realm of karma, you expect that there's an activity you can perform to get a better result. Right? So in other words, if these things aren't there, then why will people go to these things? Why will people take interest? No? So, but we have to understand is the planet's there, it's already fixed. It doesn't, it's that this planet is going to be bad for you, it's already there. You know, by doing something, if you reduce it, okay. But it's not that the situation, the bad situation will go away. You might be able to adjust it a little bit, might reduce it a little bit. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let us say, didn't you just have some days or weeks ago, big floods there in London and stuff like that? Yeah. So let's say you're out in one of those, right, with your brolly, right? They still use umbrellas now, or is that all about? I mean, the bowlers have gone, but the brollies have remained? Okay, that's good. At least some tradition is there, okay. So you're out in that. Now you have your umbrella up. Does it make the rain stop? It just doesn't affect you quite as much, but it won't get rid of the rain. You have to remember that. But that's the point, is we just look at how to get rid of the bad. Why not cultivate the good? The strong parts, that's what you cultivate. Right? So if in the chart it says you'll be really good at studying, so why not emphasize that? You know, you may not, but you're going to be really a real bad ballerina. But don't, no, but I got to do this. This is me. And the, no, it's not. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole idea, is that you want to just see what you're good at, do that. What you're not good at, you know, try to avoid that. So these things, if they can help you, try it. You know, if you have the money, go for it. But you have to remember is that the jewel that's required needs to be flawless. Needs to be touching the skin. In the West, most of the time when they make rings, they're closed on the back. They're not open. Right? You know, in the India, they use a Tiffany setting with an open back. So it's just an open ring that has the Tiffany, you know, hooks. Does that make sense? You know, and then you have to see. You can try, but if they're telling you worship this demigod, this, that, don't bother. You just worship Krishna. If you have a problem, then just by what's the planet that's a problem, then worship Krishna in that form. Does that make sense? If sun's a problem, read the pastimes of Ramachandra. If moon's the problem, read the pastimes of Krishna. If Mars is your problem, read the pastimes of Nrsingadev. Because we have to remember, this planet has a lord, and that's Krishna. So if you're serving Krishna, technically all that's taken care of. You know, you want to put in some extra effort, why not? Because it's about Krishna. But otherwise, if you worship Krishna, Krishna is the lord of, you know, all the expansions come from him. And so therefore everything's taken care of. You know, or worship Nrsingadev. He protects. Does that make sense? Like that. So it means it's there. But if they're telling you to do, you know, Mahamrityunjaya Homa, don't bother with those things. Right? You want to do some extra service for the deities, for the service, you know, do some nice things for the deities at the temple. You know, then why not? That's always going to be nice. But remember, ultimately, it's about pleasing Krishna and getting by here, right? Things aren't never going to be fabulous here, right? On the material platform, we're going to get by, right? Does that make sense? And so then, but the point is we're cultivating our position in the spiritual world. That's great. That's going to be fabulous. But here, if it's just not annoying, you're doing okay. Does that make sense? And if it's better than that, then be happy. You know, what is it? You know, what is it? The doors behind you are made of wood, not plastic. Be happy. Most people's windows are plastic, literally. Or aluminum. Excuse me, aluminium, right? Is that okay? We're not trying to guess. The whole point is that we always have to keep the focus is pure devotional service. These things are secondary. In other words, karma and jnana are secondary attributes of the soul. They're not primary. Primary is service to Krishna. So therefore, astrology is going to be a secondary aspect because it's dealing with karma. And so if we can engage that in Krishna's service, nice. But just having good astrological things but not service to Krishna, as the soul will never be satisfied because it's secondary. Does that make sense? So, knowing what it is, then you know, okay, well, that's why, you know, this quality comes up and like that, or that quality, this good quality is there, that bad quality, this service works nicely, that one doesn't. Then that's the advantage of knowing the chart. But the point is you have to, as a servant of Krishna, live your life. Is that okay? Okay, Haribo.
Thank you for the class.
Okay, thank you.
I wanted to ask, so what does one do in terms of attachments? So let's say one has, even though one is a devotee, but they have certain material attachments that they have, which are not impious, but they are there. How does one become free of those attachments?
So the terms of attachment, you want to know how long, what's the term in which you're going to be attached for?
No, more how does
just one... like the term goes for, you know, 6 months and then it becomes the next term or something like that, or
no, it's more, well, it's the process of becoming free of one's material attachments.
Well, first of all, recognizing what material attachments are there, right? Because if you can recognize, then you can work with them, right? See, the point is we're working with the modes of nature, not controlled by the modes of nature. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point of when we're talking about the chart. If by dealing with the chart, you become under the modes that's controlling that chart, what's the point for a devotee? What's the benefit? But if by working with that chart, the mode, that's the, it's simply indicating what the modes of nature are going to do to you, that's delivered to you through the planets. Like the planets are, you have your, what do you call it? The postman comes, or nowadays it's your Amazon wallet comes, or whatever it is, you know. He delivers what you've done something, you've put in the effort, you've put in the money, and he simply, the planets are like that. They deliver to you. They're in charge of delivering these in this area. Moon does this, Mars does this, Mercury does this, right? And so everything that you can get, they're the ones that deliver, right? So... No, probably postman's better, right? Because postman always delivers, right? The courier sometimes delivers.
Great. Seems like a bad day today.
By the way, Rasa Vihari put his hand up. I think he has a question for when.
Yeah, I was going to take him next. Thank you.
Will the recording be made available, Swami Radhika?
Sure. Yeah. Now we've got a system where fairly quickly one devotee edits it out, and then we put them on the seminary website. You know where all Maharaj's other lectures are put up. So we've been putting them up there.
Okay.
So yeah, hopefully within a few days they'll be available.
Okay.
Got one devotee who regularly does the service, and it's great because all I have to do is send him the thing and he does all the stuff that's required and gets it to a nice audio quality. Mm-hmm. If anyone needs the video recording, then let me know. And I can just do that separately. I'm just trying to preserve all of Maharaj's classes now. So as I have permission to put them on the website, I just thought that's the best thing to do. And then everyone's got access to them.
What were you going to ask, Rasa Vihari?
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Oh, Prabhu, it's good to see you.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
I was just going to ask, I guess, something a bit more specific to my situation, and how does, you know, if you're trying to earn Lakshmi for Krishna, but, you know, we keep half and we donate half, how does your karma kick into that? And does, yeah, sort of, yeah, how does that interaction work? And should we, is it worth spending time thinking about things that would affect my personal karma? Like, astrologers can tell me when I'm going to lose money at work, and I do every time they tell me I lose money, but there's almost like nothing I can do about it. It's unavoidable. So is it just something I just need to not care about, or is there value there? I guess that was something.
But is it the case you can do nothing about it? In other words, if you know that you're going to lose money on a particular point, can you just trade when you're not going to lose money?
I try really hard. It's going to get you. I can sometimes minimize it, but I've never been able to avoid it, which is, I guess, what Mari just saying about the bowler hat and the rain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't avoid the rain, but you can somehow protect yourself a little bit. You still may get a bit wet.
I'm also worried about how it affects your faith at more subtle levels, because at a gross level, I know it's just, but I wonder, you know, you never know what's going on in your subconscious, and how should we be very careful about these things, because you need to have a certain level of spiritual maturity. That's another fear I have.
Yeah, these are really nice questions, especially because Maharaj really likes that practical application level, where we're trying to sort of figure out how we can use it in our devotional life and everyday lives.
Yeah, I really like the point about also the situations, because then you can see which situations can you actually, let's say, be more productive in.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you more scope. And that makes a lot of sense. I've seen that. Absolutely. Yeah. And you can also see situations where you'll be less productive, or that can create more distraction, or there'll be less, you know, they'll waste more of your time and energy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Important.
And I think also related to that is being able to kind of differentiate between the situation. Because I know for me, sometimes I kind of don't differentiate very well, and everything's kind of all in a whirlpool together. So, when Maharaj sort of speaks on those sort of things, I kind of just think, yeah, is this actually just a situation? And I can kind of step outside of a situation, take myself out of it and look from kind of outside, and then you get a whole different perspective of things. I must say, it's wonderful to see everyone again after such a long time.
Definitely.
I was wanted to ask, if anyone's writing notes, it'd be great if you could, I don't know if you're open, you could like share them in the WhatsApp chat. That would be handy. Maybe you could just take a picture of your painting.
Yeah, you won't be able to read my handwriting. Trust me. It won't work.
I've just written like one sentence down, so.
Well, you can always listen to the recordings again, Jay Murari.
Yeah.
And make your own notes.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, the same with me. I make notes, but I don't think anyone else could differentiate them. You can probably read it, but it's kind of in my own kind of language, so.
Okay, yeah. No worries, yeah. I'll definitely have to. There's so much detail, so.
Mm-hmm.
So are you in touch with somebody with Maharaj? Is he able to rejoin?
Rejoin? Now?
Yeah,
yeah, I'm just going to check.
Yeah.
What happens is when things go out, then it can take several minutes for it to come back in, because basically if the current goes, then the generator's got to come on, current has to come back, then the Wi-Fi cuts out, so then the Wi-Fi's got to connect back in again. So we can lose him for 5 minutes even. He hasn't tried yet to rejoin, so just wait.
Trying to think if there are any other questions that we can ask that could be useful based on Maharaj's availability now.
Mm-hmm.
It could really help us in our spiritual life. I remember, I think it was a house program in the UK, Maharaj spoke about the nakshatras. I remember he spoke about that before. So maybe it may be worth asking him to just elaborate upon that.
Mm-hmm.
State of the mind.
Yeah, I think I had one around letting go of desires, because I think he mentioned like the example of like you want to be an opera singer, but it's not astrologically like possible. That how do you deal with that desire and like let go of it? Like if you've got a really strong desire to do something.
You're muted, Miss Bumper.
That's a good question.
Yeah, or even if it's like potentially a desire that's going to be a distraction, but you've got to kind of, there's a strong desire to do something. How do you deal with it and just let go of desires in general?
Yeah, I mean, he started on that journey when he said that the first thing is to recognize the attachments. But I think it's worth asking more about that. Marge is coming back on it.
He's having to join on the phone now.
Yeah, somehow it's not coming back.
Okay.
People are still here? Or?
Yeah, we're all still here. We've been chatting amongst ourselves.
Oh, okay.
Just waiting for you.
Okay.
So I think Bhuta Bhavana Puri, you were starting, weren't you? With Bhakti Gamyas.
So Marge, I was gonna ask in a previous seminar, you touched upon astrology and you talked about the nakshatras and
yes,
they relate to the mind. And I was wondering if you could just explain how or elaborate on how that relates to astrology and us.
Aha. See the the chart, then you're going to be dealing with the situation, and then you're going to see this decisions you make are going to be based on the maybe everyone froze. Okay. So then the whole point is this moon becomes very prominent. So when you're looking at the birth chart, they're generally looking mainly at the moon aspect. You know, so I think when you deal with the Rashi, you're dealing with the moon, you know, and its prominence in the whole thing. So now when you're dealing in the zodiac signs, those zodiac signs then are fixed. They don't move. Houses move, but the zodiac sign does not move. So, and then fixed in those zodiac signs are the nakshatras, right? Or the constellations. So those constellations, those, you know, depending upon which zodiac sign you're dealing with, then those specific, nakshatras are, right? So there's 2.5 per house. I mean, per zodiac sign. So now if we understand it, which, you know, is not understood in the Western, but in the Vedic it is, but contemporary astrologers, is that the nakshatras are the wives of the moon, right? So now how influential is the wives on the husband? If they're in the same place, is there not influence? So therefore, the moon in this zodiac sign, you know, whatever the house is, that's not, house is your application, but the zodiac sign is like, what is the nature of things that can happen or do or be done? The moods and all that. The moon is in that particular sign with that particular wife. That wife has a nature, therefore he's going to have a particular way of application. Does that make sense? So if you go back into the ancient Vedic astrology, nakshatras played one of the most main points, because you say it's the moon, but it's going to be the moon under the influence of this nakshatra, right? So that's going to be the prominent aspect that you want to look at. Did it come back on? No, still not back on. So therefore they play a very leading role, though nowadays I don't think the Western astrologers look at them too strongly, and the contemporary Vedic ones don't look at them very strongly. So that aspect of mind and how that works and the subtleties of it, I guess most people aren't into. So in other words, you have the mind with 27 subtleties. Mm-hmm. You understand? So it's actually quite important. That make sense? So we'll say is we're in this zodiac sign, okay? You know, you say that you're in, let's say, Taurus or something, but within that there's going to be three nakshatras. So which part are you in? The first part, second part, last part? That would then, depending on that, that will give a finer point within that. So if you're saying, okay, he's Taurus, we have this generic Taurus nature, but then there's going to be the refinement of which nakshatra the moon is in. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's, yes. So they are a very prominent thing in the ancient Vedic. Contemporary, they don't necessarily seem to get into it, but then, you know, they don't get into a lot of things. Is that okay?
Thank you, Marj. Yes.
Okay. And Marj, I think before you went out, you were talking about the process of letting go of attachments.
Was there something? Yes. The point is that we have attachments. That's because we're a living entity. To not be this idea that we won't be attached at all, that can't happen, right? Mm-hmm. Attachment's always going to be there. But the point is it attachment to Krishna or is it attachment to Maya? But getting rid of attachments, that's not going to happen. So it's a matter of transferring the attachments to Krishna and giving up attachments to Maya. So that's going to happen by Krishna's grace. Right, so that's why it mentions that by the grace of Balaram, then one can get rid of so many attachments by the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, then we can be freed of all material attachments. So it comes there is that we have these attachments, then that's overcome by us being aware of them and being willing to give up those attachments. And even more important than a specific attachment is the generic attachment to this material nature, to material enjoyment. Though our specific attachments are definitely going to be the ones we notice, right? So you can, it's just like you in a pot of rice, you take out one grain and check that, test that, then you can tell all the other grains. So if these prominent attachments, if they're still very strong, then you know general attachment is going to remaining. If you see those are going down, then you know that's why Krishna is saying in the second canto about in the Chaturshloki in the second verse, then he's mentioning how any value you have, if you see it in connection with him, that's real. But if you don't see it connected to him, that's illusion, right? Does that make sense? So the point is when we see the attachments connected to Krishna and being used and engaged in Krishna's service, then it becomes, then they become engaged and become purified. So that's the first thing, is you have attachments, you regulate them, and from regulate it, you engage them, you know, and in this way, then gradually, then taking shelter of Lord Bali, gradually, step by step, they can go away. Does that make sense?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. One thing is there is just on the last, and just in case it wasn't fully appreciated, that by looking at the chart, you can know, okay, what the nature is. And so that's the good thing of this. So one just has to be aware that unless it's engaged in Krishna service, then it doesn't really matter how well or not well things are going. So if that's appreciated, then one can always, do the needful. Okay, so some other questions were there?
Yes, Maharaj. Rasbihari Kishwara.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you for taking the time. I had a specific question about myself. My service is basically, I work in a hedge fund and I try to raise Lakshmi for projects. So whatever I earn, trading profits, I give half to Krishna and I keep half. How is my personal karma interacting with that? Because I really want to do the service, but you know, if I take half, how much is my karma interacting with that? Because I'd like to offer something nice to Krishna, but you know, if I'm going through a bad patch astrologically for my personal wealth, how much is that going to damage the service? And then I guess a follow-up on that is using astrology in such a way potentially helpful in that scenario, or should better to get on with my service and not?
So when you say hedge fund means you're working with the stock market.
I trade emerging markets, fixed income like bonds and currencies.
Yes, no.
But bonds and currencies, Maharaj, emerging market bonds and currencies.
Yeah, but you're still working in that kind of in that market.
Yes, Maharaj.
I'm just going to stop Marge's video.
They're not part of the stock exchange.
Sorry, Marge, I can't hear you. You keep cutting out.
He was asking if you're not part of the stock exchange.
So it's just like somebody works in commodities, somebody in derivatives and things.
Yes.
Right? As it started, it's working. Okay, why don't we go back to the regular reality? Okay, so.
Just give it a minute, Marge, we'll swap back over. He was trying to establish, Rasabihari Prabhu, whether you're part of the, if it's related to the stock exchange.
Yeah, it's the same, it's financial markets, yes. Same thing.
He just has to set everything up again so he can be on the computer. There he is.
Okay, so then you call it stock exchange, not stock market.
I work in financial markets. I trade some stocks, but bonds and currencies and...
It's the same thing. You get a graph that goes like this and...
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Fibonacci and fractals and this and Gann and all those guys, right?
That's a small part of it. Mostly it's based on economics, like structural economic trends.
However you're working it, but it's the same.
Yeah, same.
Okay, yes. That's what we're just saying. So that whole thing then is, how you say, controlled by God only knows who, right? And but they deal with the market, and if you can tell where they're going with it, then you can come by, and when they liquidate everybody, you can get a few crumbs, right? Right? They're making trillions, you know, you might make, you know, thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands, but that's crumbs compared to them, no?
Yes. My boss makes the billions, yeah.
But he's small also. There's guys above him.
I mean, there's always someone bigger by nature.
Yeah, no. Okay, then we won't go into this. But now all this is happening by the modes of nature, right? The modes of nature make everything function. The modes of nature then are, you know, how you say, the modes are, the influence of the modes are distributed through the planets. So if you understand the planets in the context of economics, it can be used for what you're doing. It'll just tell you the scenarios. It won't tell you what to buy and sell. You have to do that. It, you know, it's just like this. Let us say you're walking down the street, right? And you turn the corner. And when you turn the corner, you see that there's a whole riot going on down there. Right? Yes? Okay. Now, you can either keep walking down that street into the middle of the riot, or you can keep walking and go to the next street and then turn right. Right? So it's your choice. So these planetary things, they can tell you situational aspects of what's going on. But you need to make the decisions. They're not going to make the decisions for you. So it may give you more of an indication on where it's going. People, in other words, if people are inspired, they put in more money. No? They're not inspired, they take the money out. Therefore, the market goes up and down, right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like that. So the planets will give some idea if you can work that out. There are people who deal with that and deal with the market and the astrological, you know, elements. But I can't tell you any more than that. I just know that some people do that and trade according to that, and there's no problem.
Yes, Maharaj. I actually meant more about me personally, rather than using the markets to using astrology to predict the markets. I mean more, if my services, if I keep half and donate half, then will my personal ups and downs with wealth, how will that affect my service? Does that make sense? So because me doing my service, part of it I'm keeping, how much does my personal karma or personal ups and downs in wealth impact that?
Well, I mean, first thing is look at it. Have you perfected the art of living off of air?
Unfortunately, not much.
Okay. And especially if you're in London, it's not necessarily you have the best air. Maybe if you moved out to Bath or something, then you might get some, you know, like that. Or is that, what is it? Canterbury? I think that's the new place for everyone to go. Yeah. Like that, you know, down there they get the sea breeze, you know, that little bit of extra salt in the air. It helps the digestion, you know. It, you know, it's really good. So if you like eating burratas, head to Canterbury. Like that. Okay. Okay. So the point. What does Rupa Goswami recommend?
He says, donate some, spend some, save some.
Okay, but when he says donate from the province, what does he recommend?
I thought it was 50%, 25%, 25%.
Yeah, so the 50%. So the point is if you're donating 50% and Rupa Goswami says donate 50%, what's the problem?
Yeah.
See, it's like this. If you are living in the temple and you're a brahmachari, right? And you have nothing, no needs for yourself. The temple takes care. And then you run the market and you make a profit and you give half to the temple and the half to keep for yourself because you really want to buy yourself one of those, you know, Jordan Nike shoes and they cost 2,000 pounds. Then now you can talk. Now maybe you have, there's some problem going on. But as if you're working in a more in a grihasta environment, then what's the problem? 50%, that's good. Go ahead, give me a list of grihastas that give 50%. Knock me out. Okay, there's you. And then there is, let's see. Is it Rasa Bihari Krishna Das? He's giving. And then there's this dude sitting there with a black t-shirt on that says Black Lives Matter and, nice tilak and bright white teeth. That's three. Then there's a guy sitting in a white room, but I can't tell if there's black curtains or I don't know if your house is located next to the station, so I can't tell that, but there's that. That's four. Did I miss anybody? Okay, so the point is what's the problem? Now, that 50% you keep, if you find you have more than you need, you can always use that for something. You know, something that you like, some project you like, some other thing like this. You can always use that. But the point is you're giving 50, and the 50 is fluid. You make more money, you're giving more. You're making less, you give less. Right? You make 100 pounds, you're giving 50 pounds. You're making 100,000 pounds, you're giving 50,000. So it's not a problem. It's a principle. You're giving half. Then what you do with the other half, that's what you have to calculate. How much is there for emergencies? How much you're going to live off of? If it's way above what you need, you know, then you give it to, you figure out something else to do with it. Does that make sense? So it's not a problem at all. Why it's karma? You're doing your duties. You're doing that in context of maintaining yourself in Krishna consciousness. So what's the problem? You know, unless you're making $2 billion a month and you're giving $1 billion to Krishna and keeping $1 billion. And, you know, I mean, how many Ferraris and Lamborghinis can you buy, right? You know, you have them stacked up in your garage. So then you might say, okay, maybe you should give more to Krishna.
So if I understand you correctly, Maharaj, you're saying as long as I'm following the instructions of the acharyas, right. I should not be concerned about how my personal astrology may impact my personal wealth up and down, and I should just get on with it.
Yeah, means you just do what you can, because the point is if by the chart things are going to be a little slow, it's going to be slow, and if it's going to be very good, it's going to be very good. What does it matter? The point is, you're doing what you do. That's why then there's something you put away, because if things are slow, you have some emergency money, and if things are going well, then you may have more than what you need. You know, instead of going someplace and then buying the hotel to stay there, you know, and kick everybody out, and afterwards then you sell it and then come back to your home. Maybe you don't need to do that. You know. Does that make sense? So I wouldn't worry about it. You just be steady in your service, steady in your sadhana, you know, in your Vaishnava behavior, associating with devotees, and then you work it out from there.
Thank you, Mark.
Is that okay?
Yes, thanks.
Okay, very good. Hare Krishna.
We've got about 5 more minutes. Is Sachinanda Karuna Prabhu? Are you there? He's there with his daughter Janava, so he's been on and off camera.
Aha.
Sachinanda Karuna Prabhu? Maybe not.
Okay. Anyone else? Bala Mimash.
Bala Mimash. Yes.
Hi, Krishna. Hi, Krishna. Sorry, yes. I was in the other room. Oh, okay. You want to offer a pizza tomorrow, Ash, huh? Okay, come back here tomorrow to see.
Okay.
In the course of your talk, Maharaj, my daughter was painting a pizza.
Oh, very nice pizza.
This is Janava. Very nice. She's just turned 4 years old.
Okay, very good.
Thanks, Maharaj.
Okay, Jai Ho. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, okay. I thought there was a question.
Okay. Okay. It was about the pizza.
Hi Krishna, can I ask a question?
Yes, please. After having taken care of the important business of the pizza and that, now we can get to your question.
Maharaj, I was wondering, in the course of making choices, whether it's based on astrology or just the general situation, whatever it might be, how do we avoid overanalyzing? Like if we move too much with something, there's too many options, how do we avoid that?
By starting from the top. The top means we as a living entity, our business is pleasing Krishna, serving Krishna. Therefore, in the situations that are available, how to best serve Krishna. Look at that. Then you look down into the detail of, okay, then what you can do and whether it's this or that, you know, what do you have, you know. So then you look at that. Because the point is that unless you do something, you get no result. I remember when Bhavanandaji made a point, because I asked him, I said, I've seen other managers, no one makes a decision as quickly as you do. You know, other managers, they'll want to think about it, you know, have a meeting, this, that. He'll just bang on the spot, make a thing. And his point was, until you make a decision, nothing can happen. And once you make a decision, just like you made a decision there, you see it running, and if it's going good, you keep it going, and if it's not, you make another decision to correct it. So in other words, you're constantly making decisions and seeing it moving where it's going. It's not that I made the decision, now I have to stick with that. It might be you find out that was stupid and you adjust that to go the other direction.
That seems to work with small decisions, Maharaj, but what if it's like a big decision, like a big, you know, change in one's life? How does one, you know...
How do you find, I mean, you say change in one's life, how do you define change in one's life? Means, do I get a tattoo or not? Do I get a piercing or not? Do I buy that Harley Davidson, but people say it's not good anymore, so should I buy an Indian instead? But then the three-cylinder Triumph, now that's looking serious. I mean, 2,000, you know, cc, I mean, you can't. That's nothing to sniff at. I mean, what do you mean by, or should we go with the Ducati? You know, what do you mean by big decision?
I guess something that may impact one's lifestyle, you know, perhaps a patient change or...
But I mean, doesn't most everything do that? I mean, it's just like you get up at 4 in the morning, your lifestyle will unfold, your day will unfold in one way. You get up at 7 in the morning, it'll unfold in a different way. You know? No? You take a bath in the morning or you don't. It's going to make a big difference on your day. You know, you wear your suit to work, or you go in your dungarees. You know, it makes a difference on what happens. So the whole point is that you just have to see everything on how does it relate to Krishna, how it will move things forward in Krishna consciousness. You know, because the point is you're engaging yourself in your position in Krishna's service. And so you have to take all those things into consideration, but it has to be Krishna's the central feature. Right? You know, just like grihasthas, they take care of the family. So they have to consider all those different things. So as a family, as a unit, you're trying to move forward in Krishna consciousness. So what things are going to make that happen? So the real big decision is faith in Krishna and dedicating your life to Krishna. That's the real big faith. And other things you see, you want to buy a house or sell a house or, you know, how you say, you know, it means these guys that, what do you call it? The homeless people, it's on the rise and they're doing pretty good. Government gives them money. They give them free tents, you know, like that. So, you know, I mean, so the whole point is you have to just see is how will that help in your Krishna consciousness? Because these things anyway, you have to see what's the situation around you. You may say, oh, I want to buy a house, but is the house you want available? You know, you want to buy a car, is it available? It's like now there's so many cars that aren't come on the market because the little computer chips that they need to run like that aren't available. So the cars don't come out. And because of that, they lay the people off of work and all that. And so, you know, that's going on. So you can say whatever you like, but over some little dinky chip that costs, you know, like, you know, 50 cents, you know, you can't get a car and 100,000 people don't have a job. You know, so the whole point is if at every moment you're looking at things like this in Krishna consciousness, then at these bigger things you'll look. You know? Does that make sense? You know, do you put one more pickle on your sandwich or not? You know? You know, you'd like to put five more, but you know four of them will fall out, so you just keep one. You know, you work it out.
Mark, we may act sometimes according to what we perceive or would help our Christian consciousness. Maybe misinformed in doing that. We may be.
Then you adjust. It's that way with everything. Just like your friend told you that this place to go to eat is really great, and you get there and it's not great.
Right.
You know, yeah, maybe they have that kind of retro style, some vintage stuff. You know, this and that, and you know they've done that. What is that? You know, brutalist. You know, thing with all their pipes and everything like that. And it's great atmosphere, but you can't eat atmosphere. The food's terrible. What's the point? No, but the Wi-Fi is great, you know. So you have to decide. That's the point, is because you made a decision, then you have to go. Everything is constantly changing. Nothing's ideal. It's not a great place. Spiritual world, now that's a great place. You know? But the material world, you do the best you can. There's never going to be something where it's 100% perfect. Does that make sense? You know, that's the whole point, is that there's always, whatever you do, there's going to be some good points and bad points, strengths and weaknesses. So for your situation, where's the most strengths and least weaknesses? And for your nature, what you can handle. Like I know someone's looking at a chart. You have two different charts that they're looking at for couples, right? And let's say they have the same thing, that there's going to be some anxiety, right? So for one couple, anxiety is no big deal because they deal with anxiety all day, and of course there's going to be anxiety, so it doesn't annoy them at all. But other things are strong, and so that's great, as long as the anxiety there is less than everything else. But for someone else who has this, let's say, a very timid emotional nature, anxiety is going to be a big thing for them, so they'll avoid that relationship. Even though it may be a good relationship, because you have to understand, everything has something missing. You know, do I get the sandwich or do I get the pizza? Each one has their advantage. You know, you can stick the sandwich in a paper bag, stick it in your backpack and go off to work. You can't do that with a piece of pizza. Therefore, eat the pizza, then put the sandwich in your bag, and then go off. Does that make sense? So you don't be afraid of making decisions. And you're going to constantly be making decisions. There's not going to be a time when there'll be no decisions. Is that okay?
Great. Thank you, Raj.
Okay, good. Everybody's okay? We didn't upset anybody or... No.
I think everyone looks happy.
Yeah.
So thank you everyone for joining today. We'll finish here, but we'll continue tomorrow at the same time. And if you have questions already, then you could probably send them to me.
Yeah, we can just start off with the questions and that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Jai Ho. Sonia
Bhakti Vedipura Maharaj Ki Jai.
Jai Ho. Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda Ki
Jai.
Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.
Haribol.
Go Haribol. Jai Nitai.